Welcome to Creative Chaos. This is a podcast where a group of creatives come together from all different places and stages in life to share and document their experiences in and out of the booth and beyond the camera. Together, they've found new paths to follow as voiceover and on-camera actors. From shared experiences, new friendships, and whatever adventures come their way, they share it all with you from the very beginning. Oh, and maybe a little bit of chaos, too. This is the all-new Keeping Up with Chaos from the Booth and Beyond podcast.
Hey guys, back for another week of chaos. Welcome, welcome. This week, Gabby's joining me again, so I'm happy to have her along for the ride. And of course, our guest is Kimberly Crossland. She's Cruising in Campfires podcast along with the Roadpreneur podcast. And she's all about getting people outside and comfortable with not only camping or glamping, but just having fun with the kids outdoors and enjoying each other as a family. Now, I'm interested in this because I used to camp a lot when we lived in Michigan, and I miss it so much. So I'm excited to have Kimberly on, and I'm excited to share with you some camping tips and tricks, and maybe just some tips and tricks for when you are actually out and about with the kids this summer or this spring, whether you're camping or just on vacation in general. It's always difficult to travel with kids. All right, so let's get this conversation going. As always, be sure to share us with one or maybe two friends, because when you share us, we organically grow, and so do our podcasting friends. On with the conversation. Thanks for coming on today.
No, thank you.
How's your trip? How was your birthday?
Another year around the sun, right?
Sounds like something Lloyd would say.
I know, right? It is something that Lloyd would totally say. That's hilarious. Always the voice of reason. It was good. You know, I think the teenager quoted it. I think I quoted the teenager my number one because we share like a birthday month and it was kind of both of our birthday weekends. He's my birthday baby. He was born a few days after my birthday.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I remember when I was pregnant with them, they're like, do you want to have a C-section the day before your birthday or like 4 days after your birthday? I'm like, let's go 4 days after my birthday. We'll give him a little space. But I think he said this was the best family vacation yet. So for the teenager to say that, that's something.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it was so cold, Gabby. Like, it was so freaking cold. And when I know, and I say, like, it's so cold, and you're like, yeah, you're in Florida, 70s cold. But, like, I packed for cold weather. Speaking of traveling, you know, I packed for cold weather because I knew we were going to go up to Orlando. And I knew it was going to be colder northern central Florida anyways. But so I packed zippies and, like, long pants and stuff like that because but it was like 30s. Like I should have packed like a full length, you know, Patagonia or something a little bit more durable. So we were like everybody else in the shops, like trying to find as many sweatshirts, you know, that we could layer up on. And, you know, of course, like the sizes were not exactly the best because everybody else was shopping for the freaking.
Oh, no.
And I finally was just looked at my husband. I like don't do cold anymore. I finally looked at him. I'm like, I found the fluffiest, warmest men's pullover, size medium. Just, can we get it? And it was more expensive than I wanted to pay for it. But I was like, I don't care. Because the next day was going to be even colder. So I had brought hats and gloves, you know, for just in case. I didn't think we were going to use them.
Yeah, no. And then it's like, shit. I should have brought down like the big tub.
Yeah.
Jackets. Yeah.
Right. I don't like being cold. My blood has thinned out since I've moved down here. But I don't remember when we were in Vegas.
Yeah.
I remember you giving me your puffer jacket. Because I was just like freezing. I just don't do cold. What do you do in that? What do you do in that situation?
Yeah. Well, you know, this past trip that we had, we went to Mexico City. We're now back in Mérida. I was about to say Florida. In Mérida. So it's about the same climate as, you know, where you are.
Yeah, in Florida.
And
yeah.
And so, yeah, Mexico City, though, is like another level. It's so cold.
Really?
It was freezing. Dante had on like two sweatshirts and a jacket. And he was like, I'm so cold, Mom. I'm like, I know, me too. Like, I can't feel my hands.
My youngest is like, bring on the cold. Like, he's the one that loves the cold. And so I had to force him to put like to wear a Jurassic Park pullover sweatshirt that we bought for his. I think his brother wanted it first, and we ended up giving it to him because he was. And then my teenager was giving me an attitude. He's like, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, really? You're fine? He was in a t-shirt. I'm like, you didn't bring a sweatshirt? He's like, I thought I did. So I had to, we had to drag him into a store, and my husband ended up finding, you know, like a long sleeve and like a crew neck pullover. That's all. He wouldn't wear a hat because, you know, it was going to mess up his hair.
Oh, man.
It was so funny. No. But we had a great time, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. We spent a lot of money, you know, like, I mean, I feel like if you're going to vacation or if you're going to travel, you know, going stingy on stuff is not really, I don't know. I don't like that kind of traveling and vacationing. Yeah. I feel like if you're going to do it, you got to do it and you have to just embrace it. And my teenager's like, oh, we're going to spend how much on a Sunday? Because, you know, there's the chocolate factory at Universal. That's where we went. And it was a birthday weekend. I'm like,
yeah,
that's what you do on vacation.
And on your birthday.
Right. You celebrate. You get the dessert, you know? I mean, you be indulgent. So it was really funny. But I'm like, I finally looked at him. I said, I don't want one more word about what is being spent on what. Like, this is vacation. Enjoy yourself. We'll deal with the rest of it later. That was really funny.
Oh, that's really, really sweet, though.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Speaking of Universal, did you know that Optimus Prime is the same voiceover for Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I just found that out, though.
Oh, okay. Same with me.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
I think I was on Instagram, and there was a video of him and all of the characters he's ever done. I think he also did, who was it? Tigger. He also did Tigger.
That's so cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. I wish I could do character voices like that, you know? I mean...
Oh, yeah. Like, be able to switch that quickly and, like,
yeah,
the tones and, like, the pacing and... Yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
I wonder if he had to, like, record one, you know, one take for one character and then stop and, like, take a break. You know, because even today I was in the booth auditioning. I knocked out, like, some auditions and... I was before podcasting, like, I need to take a break. I need to go for a walk and get outside. It's actually warming up today. It's still like pretty cold down here, especially at night. But during the day, it's warming up. So that's nice. Yeah. So I just need to take like a break. I wonder if that's something that he, you know, would do, you know, just stop and.
I don't know. I mean, I know there are some actors that do that, like our coach Jack. He does that. He'll read one character and then he'll go back and read the other. But there are also voice actors, and I mean, we're on a different level, like Seth MacFarlane, who can jump from character to character in like one scene. It's like nothing.
Right, right. I don't think I could do that. I like doing one thing at a. I like to do one thing at a time.
Yeah,
you know, I just like to do one thing at a time. Even when in auditions, I just want to audition for one thing, and I want to edit it, and then I want to clean it up, edit it, and get it ready, and then send it off, and then I move on to the next thing. I had the funnest audition today.
No way. What was it?
To get characters. It was like voice for a dog. And I was like, I'm not sure if I could do this. And then they sent like a sample video and I watched it. I was like, okay. It was like a podcast centered around like a dog toy or bone. And they were interviewing the owner who was like mad that the dog chewed up a bunch of stuff. And it was these like a pair of dogs. And so one was a boy and one was a girl, and they were looking for a girl. And it was really funny. I had so much fun with it. I hope I get
it. So cool. I hope you get it too. I want to hear it.
I know. Oh, I forgot to tell you one thing about traveling before we get into the guest stuff. Is there anything that you want to share, like chaos or anything like that? I have one more chaos from my trip.
Super chaotic, but no, go ahead.
So at Universal, I told you we did some shopping, And of course, like, you want to be indulgent, you want to enjoy all the experiences and the rides, and there's character stuff. So when we split up to one part of my party went on a ride and a couple of us didn't want to go, we stumbled across Spider-Man, and it was a character, like, meet and greet and, like, take pictures. So of course we took pictures on our phone, but because it was my oldest and I, it was our birthday weekend, I decided to purchase the frame, which is not cheap, but it's not totally outrageous,
crazy,
but it's
expensive.
So, and then my husband, the man babe, and the other two showed up. And so my youngest wanted to do the same process. So he ended up getting in line and getting a picture. So we bought their picture frame too. So I had them and we went to dinner. I had a cocktail. That's not really the big issue, but the issue is that we got home from our trip and we were very meticulous about making sure when we leave our hotel room that we've got everything. We check under beds and in drawers and all the stuff. My husband's like almost OCD about it. We get home and I'm going through our pictures to upload them to my picture frame that's on my counter. And I'm like, oh my God, where's our actual picture frames with our actual pictures from Spider-Man? Nobody knows. They're missing. And I was like heartbroken because I'm thinking, how big is Universal's Lost and Found? It's probably so vast. And so I ended up digging around. I channeled my inner Gabby and I did some digging and I found like a lost and found. I submitted it and sent pictures from my phone to show, show what the pictures looked like. Will we ever get them? I don't know. But I was like, oh man. So I was going to put it in my booth.
Yeah.
You know, as like,
great.
Like inspiration and like a memory and to like, you know, I have all kinds of stuff in my booth, you know, to conjure up like feelings and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Bummed.
I imagine that sucks. I'm sorry, dude.
I know.
I'm sorry.
So when you travel, our guest is going to be here pretty soon. Kimberly Crossland. She's Cruising and Campfires podcast. She's a mom boss, a roadpreneur. I think she made that word up. That's kind of cool. Roadpreneur.
Yeah.
And she's all about camping and traveling and, you know,
so cool.
With the kids and probably her man babe and, you know, and you travel all over the world with your family too. So this is like, and I think that it's a cool thing to do. I feel like for me, I don't remember any presents I had when I was growing up. Very few. But the trips that I took with my mom or my dad or my grandparents.
Those stayed with you, right?
Totally. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Even like with my son, I know he's really young, but I feel like there are a lot of things that did stick with him. Like he'll remember certain things or the fact that he was just out there and like exploring instead of being like stuck at home, I think made a big difference in his development as well.
Yeah.
Like he can memorize anywhere where he's been before. Like he can actually remember, like he has like this little map in his head and he knows exactly where he is.
That's cool.
That's
fun.
Cool.
And you have to think that it's going to have like a big impact on them. You know, we used to camp.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to talk about today. Like we used to camp, like religiously camp in Michigan when we lived there. Yeah. And we had a travel trailer and everything. So it was like,
with the kids too?
Yeah. With the kids. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. I don't seem like a outdoorsy, wildernessy. I mean, I'm kind of granola. I'm like kind of granola, right? You know?
Yeah.
But like you, yeah. So like we used to camp all the time. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the chaos table. How you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're good. Gabby and I were just chit-chatting about how like I actually used to camp. I was a camper. I'm a former camper. Since moving from Michigan, it was like I was just reminiscing about the fact that we used to camp religiously like all the time, you know, come April to October. And since we moved to Florida, we have yet to camp. We actually sold our travel trailer when we got down here. And I miss it. I think that's like the one, no offense to my friends that I still keep in touch with in Michigan or family. But like, I feel like it's the one thing that I really miss about living in Michigan, like the camping experience. So I call it glamping.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's fine. We can call it what it is because I agree. And I need to have, that was actually how my husband gets me out camping more is because it's glamping. Like, I don't like the cold. I don't like bugs. I love our little fireplace space heater inside the travel trailer because it keeps me warm.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm all about the creature comforts. It's all good.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I just told Gabby, I'm like, I don't do cold. Like, and since I've moved to Florida, my blood is like totally thinned. You know, like when I say it's cold, it's 70 now, like 70 is cold. And we just traveled. We were just talking about traveling. You know, Gabby travels all over the world with her family. And like I said, I used to camp and then we travel now. But like for us, traveling is like, we have access to all the parks in Florida. You know, it's not like a year long, you know, planning. It's like, oh, you want to go to Universal? Okay, let's see what deals are there. And you drive 4 hours and boom, you're at the park and you're having a good time. But I knew it was going to be cold last weekend. I didn't know it was going to be that cold, you know, and it was really tough, but we made it through. So how did you get camping? Like, how did you start camping?
Oh, that's a good question. Because like I said, I don't like the cold and I don't like bugs. So it feels like a very strange thing. but my husband actually forced me into it and I love him for that. we got pregnant. I got pregnant with my first son. And when I was pregnant, my husband's like, we should get a camper because he grew up camping. He was always every summer, like every weekend they're at the lake, they're camping. And I was like, I don't know. It's a lot of money. I don't know if I'm going to like it with little kids. That sounds really stressful. He's like, no, we should get a camper. And I thought, fine. And so when I was 9 months pregnant with my second child, I was in the dealership getting the truck that we needed to tow the camper. And I had to go because my husband was not the one to do the negotiating. He just got fed up with the games. And I'm like, I'm pregnant. Like, I'll play the games. You play the games yeah. with me. I'm hormonal. Like, let's talk. And so I did. And got us I drove that truck home, which was, you know, fun getting into right after giving birth. That's a whole other story. And we finally, when my oldest turned 2, my youngest was 3 or 4 months old, I was wearing my baby on my chest and like holding a little 2-year-old in a parking lot. We bought our first camper. Wow. And I wanted to take our first trip where it was, I had my escape route where I could go home in the middle of the night if we needed to. So we went a half an hour away from us and it was so fun. Nobody slept, but I mean, I have a 4-month old. I'm not sleeping anyway. So right. We didn't sleep, but we had a campfire and we had, you know, we had so much fun. I had the little bumbo chair sitting out next to the campfire. So yeah. He was able to actually sit up and enjoy it. And it was just an absolute blast. And I said, okay, I'm hooked. When can we book our next trip? And so we did, and we booked it for that same park. And that second trip in the middle of the night, we were the awful neighbors that you don't actually want to have at the campground, but we're the ones who are leaving. We drove out at like 11 o'clock at night because our kids would not go to sleep. So we're out driving up and down the freeway that was close by. Yeah. Finally got them to sleep and it was part of the experience and it was fun. And then he said, well, now we're going to go do a week-long trip in Colorado. And I thought, now you're crazy. I don't have my escape route. But on the last night of that trip, I didn't want to go home. I was like, this is so much fun. Like, we fell into our routine. We fell into our pattern. It was comfortable. We were all sleeping great. It was an absolute blast. My kids were entertained the whole time. It was phenomenal. So now we're hooked.
Yeah. So where's your home? Are you based in like a certain, do you go out of state camping? Because I never camped out of state. We only camped in Michigan. And it's funny that you said that you had your escape route because when I had my oldest and my middle, we're a little bit older, but my middle was still quite young, you know, so he was under the age of 3 and that was tough. And then I was pregnant with our third and then, you know, had a baby camping and it's even tougher. And I remember there was a certain point where we would only camp so far away. So sometimes maybe my husband and 1 or 2 kids would go and they would be staying the night, but I would just be coming back and forth, you know, from home to the campground. So you actually go far, you like go like hours away.
Yeah, we do. I think we're really lucky with our kids. I don't know. They don't get car sick. And I think that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that I hear from parents. They're like, I would love to go further, but my kids get so car sick. And thankfully ours don't. I have, if I can say so myself, I've perfected the way of packing the truck so that they're entertained. We don't really have meltdowns. And so now we will go like 13-hour drives Wow. Like 13 hours in one day.
That's amazing.
We did that over the summer. We went to Jellystone, which if you've not been to that campground, it's fun with kids. It's this huge water park. It's Yogi Bear's campground. So you see Yogi Bear and Boo Boo driving around. It's real cute. They do like yoga with Yogi in the morning, which is just kind of silly and fun. But anyway, so we went there, but the closest one to us is 14 hours away.
Wow.
So we're in Arizona for context. We're in Arizona and surprisingly there's not one here. I feel like there needs to be one here. It's a water park. Like we're very hot. You could be open. So like year round, you could be open, but there's not. And so the closest one is over near Kerrville. There's several in the middle of Texas. So we drove there from Tucson. We left Tucson in the morning. Did a little quick stop over in El Paso, which is about 4 or 5 hours away when you're towing, with my in-laws who live there. And then we kept going and we stayed overnight at a rest stop. They have a safety rest stop. Like it's designed for RVers and people to stay overnight. And they actually have like a playground at this rest stop, a little museum. And so it's, you know, it's not just bathrooms. There's a little bit more. So we stayed overnight there and then kept going. And on the drive back though, we just push all the way through and that was 14 hours. So we left the campground at 9 a.m. It was a 2 hour time difference, rolled into our house at 9 p.m. So it's 14 hours total.
Wow. So what do you do with your kids to keep them entertained or like to not get car sick? Is it just, I mean, you know, some kids just don't get car sick. My middle gets car sick every time. Is there like a trick or
I'm just the classic looking out the window and that's really difficult when they want to just be on their tablet. So thankfully their tablet battery life is only 4 hours. And so if we're on a 14 hour trip, there's 10 hours where they can't be looking down or they're not going to have any battery left. So we'll do a lot of the games where you're looking out the window to find, you know, shapes in the cloud or a scavenger hunt or I spy, things like that are really good just to get them looking out the window. They like to look out the window. When we're going through a city, I have them looking out the window. I also like to use food to my advantage. So snacks. Kids love to snack. Yeah. And so I'll put like, if we're going on that long of a trip, I'll pack little snacks. Snacks I don't usually get at home. So they're fun and exciting, but still not super sugary because you don't need a sugar-filled kid in the car.
No.
That's a nightmare. But if you just put those in like Easter eggs and then every mile marker or every time marker. So you decide that ahead of time. If it's a 14 hour drive, then you're probably going to want it every hour instead of every half an hour. But if it's a 4 hour drive, every half hour works too.
Oh,
so you just kind of have to gauge it, but then they get an Easter egg at a certain time. So now they're looking up at the clock. They're looking out the window. When they open the egg, they can't have anything in their hands. They have to have just that snack. Same with mealtime. And they can't be trying to color and eat at the same time because that'll just be a mess. So they have to look up and look out the window and kind of reset their bodies.
Yeah.
Fresh air is also just another really good one. So if you can roll down the windows, that always helps too with them resetting.
That's interesting. I know Gabby, she travels a lot on a plane. So I'm sure you probably have like little like tips and tricks
too.
Yeah,
that's a little different though. It's really boring. You just get up and walk down the aisle. No, I mean, you can make it fun, but it's not as exciting as looking out the window and looking at the scenery and the clouds and, you know.
I remember growing up, like we do the license plate game. You know, when you're older, you do the license plate game or you're, and Peditle. I don't know if you guys ever did Peditle or like, I don't know. We did like a hitting game too, which is probably not probably the good thing to do. But like if you saw like a bug, like a Volkswagen bug, it was, you slugged the person next to you. Like old school. I don't recommend doing that with young kids, but it was something that we used to do. And
I have a question. Do you feel like your kids are more in touch with nature because you've been traveling so much?
Do they like bugs? Just kidding.
They do. And it's funny because when I got two boys, I was like, why did you give me two boys, God? Why? Because I don't like bugs and I know they're just gonna like come and hand me bugs. And we live in Arizona and we've got giant awful bugs.
Oh man.
And they have done that one time. I probably scared them so much they'll never do it again. But they will go take care of the bugs for me. They will go relocate the bugs so I don't have to see them. So it's working out well. But to your question about are they more in tune with nature? I would imagine that they would be. I will say that we have some friends that we see often that their go-to is to put their kids like, here, go watch a movie. And my kids are like, I don't want to watch a movie. I want to go play outside. And yeah. It doesn't matter if it's cold or hot. They just want to be in dirt. We also send them, because we're not full-timers. We camp whenever we can, at least like once a month we're out camping. And they're used to playing in the dirt, building the forts. And they also go to a school that has the same mentality. So like yesterday I picked them up. We had about 3 days straight of rain. So they had mud puddles everywhere.
Oh boy.
But the kids had all put they made their own obstacle course or like bridge over the mud puddles. And so they were just out there walking in the mud and having fun, not super dirty, thankfully, because they had built the obstacle course over it. But yeah. So they just, we've found ways to just get really creative with how we're outside and come up with new games. And they just amaze me what they come up with. Their creativity is amazing.
You mentioned Jellystone, the Yogi Bear, that was where we ended up. We were seasonal campers. So we would, when we first started camping, we'd go the half an hour, so we had our exit route or whatever. Or then we would expand and go maybe an hour. And then we, went to 4 hours away. And my husband didn't like driving the truck with the travel trailer because, we started off with borrowing a pop-up. And then my husband bought a little one when we had one kid. And then, you get another kid and then you big a little bit bigger size. And then I think our last one was our largest one and we sold it after we moved to Florida. But I don't know, because I just was I can't wrap my head around camping in Florida. I don't know if I can do it, But I was thinking I lost my train of thought. I just totally lost my train of thought. Oh my God.
About Jellystone?
Oh yes, thank you. We ended up seasonally camping the last couple of years that we were camping because what would end up happening is my husband, he worked a lot, right? And so we tried to camp once a month, like you just mentioned. And in the summers, we decided we'd go to Yogi Bear in Southwest Michigan and we would just do it. We'd be seasonal. We just leave our camper there. So it was almost like we had a little cabin. We had a little camper cabin and I stayed there with the kids full time and my husband would just go back and forth. Do you ever think about doing that?
Yeah, definitely. There's so many, especially here in Arizona. The thing is, we like to just see new places and be new places. And so I totally hear you and your husband on the driving. That part's really difficult.
Yeah.
I don't do most of the driving because if I'm driving, my husband's still nervous. He's like, I might as well just be behind the wheel.
Right.
So, it's fair. But I mean, on the longer drives, I'll do some of the driving. Like that 14-hour drive, I definitely was behind the wheel some of it. I'm not going to put all of that on him, of course. But we just signed up for a program called Harvest Hosts and Boondockers Welcome. And this program for Harvest Host, you can stay overnight one night, only one night. You can't do multiple. Boondockers Welcome, you can do up to five, but it's at places like farms or wineries or museums. And so we just did, just to get away, right before Christmas, we went to a farm that was an hour away from us.
Yeah.
And they had cows that we had one cow that literally was trying to get through the fence. We're like, we better go find somewhere else. But what was nice about that is it's easy just to get away really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's close. And also they had a brewery and a restaurant on site that was delicious. And the whole thing with the Harvest Host is you're supposed to buy something from the person that you're staying with. So we bought our dinner there. I didn't have to cook for the night.
That's
nice. It was so simple. We didn't have to pack any food because you don't have any hookups, but you don't need it. We didn't need anything.
What's that called? That's called dry camping, right? Or dry camping.
Or boondocking or dispersed camping.
It's been a minute. So we always had full hookup.
That's my biggest preference.
Yeah, right. And how do you pick your destinations? I mean, obviously now you have, do you have like a whole host of places that you have? Yeah. Do you have a list of places that you're like, we got to check off our list? Are you going to hit every state, every city how do you find the places? For me, I'm tried and true. It's like if somebody says, oh, I went to this campground, we'd talk to people, we'd make new friends wherever we were camping. And they'd say, oh, you guys, you should really try this campground or, and if it was in our wheelhouse, my husband wanted to drive there, and make the trip. He wouldn't let me drive, just so you know, FYI. He did not trust me. That's a big deal, that you got in a truck and drove a giant trailer behind you. I have to give you kudos to that.
I don't do it very often.
I was going to say, awesome. Yeah. So how do you find your places?
It's a lot like you. So we do the tried and true. We'll get recommendations from friends. We'll look it up. Harvest Host has its own map, so we can look it up there. And just kind of Googling it and playing around and just seeing what pops up. And I'm in a lot of different like Facebook groups where people will post about their campground. So it's an extended word of mouth. It's not just friends, but it's other people. And they post, you know, pictures of where they've been. I would love to go to all 50 states, maybe not all 50, at least 49. Cause I would still like to do Alaska. Hawaii is a little bit more challenging unless you rent one when you're there. I would love to do Florida though. I would.
Really?
I want to go swim with the manatees. That's like on my bucket list, or that's at least cool. See them from above the water. Cause
yeah. Manatee Park. It's actually like, cause it's cooler down here. We've had a couple cold stints, and when it's cold, there's a park called Manatee Park in Fort Myers, and they come inland. They come all the way inland, and there's like hundreds of them because it's too cold for them. Yeah. It's like kind of an attraction. That's fun. Yeah. There's some great places here to camp. I don't know. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then I was a little bit put off because I didn't know if we could actually do campfires, you know, in Florida, but people do, you know. I'm not sure, like, I don't have all the information behind it, but I just had it in my head that we couldn't have campfires. So, you know, and that's kind of like the fun part of camping, you know?
Yeah.
Like I used to remember getting those pine cones, you know, that you throw in and then they make the fire like Harry Potter fun, you know, it's like different colors and I don't know. So anyways,
could you do propane fire pits? Cause a lot of times if you can't do the wood burning, you can still do the propane, which I agree though. You can't be throwing a pine cone into the propane fire pit, but at least it has a nice ambiance and some warmth.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. I just said to my husband the other day, I was like, I wish we could camp, you know? And I feel like that at this point in time, we've just sort of decided that we're going to just try to explore Florida, you know, the good old fashioned way and get hotels. But yeah. So what I remember, like what I was going to say is we have friends though that here in Florida, they actually are like the real deal, like non-glamping camping. Like they go out on a boat, they go to some like island, there's lots of islands and like, you know, and then they literally camp on a beach and there's no running water, there's no camper, you know, there's no, it's like super hippie, you know, and their kids love it and talking about like, you know, sand and dirt and they're running around, they're having a great time. I don't think I could do that at all, but it sounds nice. Would you ever do that or are you in the trailer zone?
No, I love it all. I think bring on the adventure. Especially if it's warm on an island, I could definitely do that. Yeah. I think it's fun just to try new things. I still will land in the glamping and the trailer and the full hookups whenever I can, but also I would not be opposed to that. Really? We've also talked about doing overlanding, which is similar. So there's no hookups, but basically it's like kind of not a truck camper. A truck camper, you still have even a bathroom in it. But it's basically where you just kind of put like a pop-up on top of your truck and then it literally just pops up. You have a bed to sleep in, but other than that, you're outside. Yeah. There's not hookups or anything like that. So a lot of hunters will do that because they're driving to very remote destinations or, our families do it too a lot of times. So we've thought about doing that too.
Yeah.
Not for a little while. Our kids are still too young. They're 5 and 6.
Yeah, it was hard to camp with kids. Yeah, it's hard to camp with kids when they're little. But like, I feel like once we had the first one going and he was set, and then the second one came along and it was like, he didn't really know any different. And by the third, and it is hard to like, you know, deal with the whole temperature changes, you know, depending on the season that you're camping. So what do you do about that? I mean, breastfeeding, I mean, that was, you know, I mean, by the third kid, you're kind of like, whatever, you know, but camping and babies, I remember thinking, where am I going to put this child to bathe it? You know, like, where am I going to put it? Like,
right.
So do you have any like tips and tricks for like maybe new parents or, you know, people that camp and are about to become like new parents?
Yeah. So the very first thing we did when we wanted, we took our 4-month-old camping.
Yeah.
We did not want our 4-month-old right next to our 2-year-old and wake the 2-year-old up who's already hard enough to get to sleep.
Yes.
And so we brought the white noise machine. That was life-changing. We took out the dinette in our travel trailer. And so we put the pack and play will usually for most models will just fit perfectly in between. So it was secure and it was safe. We didn't have our dinette, but we didn't really feel like we needed it. And we could picnic on the floor inside if we needed to, or we could have the outside picnic table. So that was a really nice place to have them sleep. Right. The other thing is to have blackout curtains. And so I'm not crafty, but I did this and I'm very impressed with myself, but I made these blackout shades for our window. And so what you can do is you just go to any craft store, get some foam board or just like a thicker, like black foam board type thing.
Yeah.
And then, or not poster board, that's too thin, but something that's a little bit thicker. And then you just wrap it with fabric and put that in the window. You can just trace the shape of the window, cut it out, hot glue it. You don't even have to sew it. Wrap it with a fabric, put it in there. They can still reach the emergency, or you can.
Right.
It's not going to open up the emergency exit, but you can. You can still have access to that, but it doesn't let the light in. So for nap times, that was life changing. Having that, it cools it down in the summer. We're in Arizona, so obviously we think a lot about cooling things down in the summer. Yeah. And it made it really easy for them to sleep there.
Wow.
And also say just to keep going, just keep doing it, just keep going and going and going, because then it really feels like that second home on wheels. So even though your location changes, their routine doesn't feel like it's totally uprooted, which is a huge thing, especially with younger kids.
Yeah.
Because that way they feel like, oh, okay, it's bedtime. This is just what we do.
Right.
Doesn't matter if we're at home or we're camping, we're still like, this is just what we do. And then in terms of bathing, if you have running water, just put them in that tub. It's a little tub, but it works. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
And that way they can still... It's shocking how much dirt comes off of them when you put them in there.
I know, right?
It's amazing.
I know. That's so funny. Do you ever like worry about, you know, like my husband's like a big safety person. I call him the man babe, but he's like, I swear to God, he should have been like an insurance agent or something, because he's just always like safety. He's just so funny. And, you know, I always thought in my head, you know, I need to be able to, you know, if something happens, you know, like obviously more than just like a cut or, you know, something I can have with an emergency, like little, you know, first aid kit that I had. I always had first aid kit. I always had to make sure we had, you know, flashlights and batteries and all that stuff. But, and obviously usually most likely the campgrounds that you're staying at have, you know, the ability to be able to help you if you have like a bigger emergency. But did you ever feel like you needed to make sure you knew that you could get to like a hospital, especially with like really little kids? You know, you never know what's going to happen. Like things go sideways really fast with kids sometimes. So does that ever like get in your head when you're camping?
Yeah, my husband's a lot like yours, because he works, his line of work is in health. And so we just bring along like a tourniquet, things like that, like the emergency supplies that you would ever need. We have that always with us, no matter what, if we're at home or camping. But one of the things that's actually coming soon to my shop is a campsite checklist. So every time we arrive at a campsite, and especially if we're off grid, especially if we're boondocking or dispersed camping, whatever you want to call it, dry camping, where you're not at a campground that has an address. I always write up, if we're in that situation, I'll write up the coordinates of where we're at on the map. So if we do need to call 911, we can call them and say, these are our coordinates. They can get there faster. It's not like, well, you go down this dirt road and then you have to look for this tree. It's like, right. No, these are our map coordinates and they can get there. Otherwise, if we do have, if you're at a campground, having the address of the campground itself. So if you need to, again, call 911 and your campsite number. So we actually did have to call 911 from a campground once.
Oh, wow.
It was a 5-star campground. And I'm going to scare people away from camping if I tell the story, but it's very unusual. We were sitting outside at night. This was 2020, I think it was. We're sitting around at, it's a weird year, so of course it was 2020. We're sitting around outside at night at the camp, around the campfire. It's about 7:15. And I start to hear someone just revving their engine. And I don't like the sound of engines. And so I looked at my husband, I was like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, stop, you're fine. But then the lady across from us, they were also sitting outside at their campfire. She was like, someone needs to stop him. And I thought, okay, something's happening. And before I could really wrap my head around the situation, we hear him kick it into gear and he comes around the corner, sprays all of the RVs and comes straight for us. And all I see is headlights coming our direction. He overcorrected the wheel and totaled the car right across from us. And he was obviously intoxicated. I picked up my kids, just got them inside, and I called 911. And that was when I was glad that I had the campsite number, right, the address. And because you can't rely on the police just to know exactly where that campground is, like having their address is very helpful. I had the campsite number, so they knew exactly where to come, or they could at least follow the signs to know where the situation was. And they were there very, very quickly. I was not the only one calling 911 either.
For sure.
A lot of people who were out calling 911. But yeah.
That's crazy.
And that... he ended up, obviously, he went to jail. So.
Yeah. And it, someone was watching over you, right? I mean, because it like veered off and didn't. Yeah. I just think about, I think about this one experience we had with my husband where he has like a bad knee and we were, you know, at the Jellystone campgrounds. They have a lot of different activities. It's really fun. You know, they have like a dance party at night sometimes and they have like themed weeks and it's actually really cool. So if you have really young kids, it's actually, and they have cabins you can rent. So if you're not an RVer, if you don't want to do tent camping, that's like always an option. Right. And so, we were there like multiple seasons and, you know, they had like a, I think it's called a Gaga pit. So it's like, I don't know if you guys played Foursquare growing up, but it's kind of like Foursquare, but it's different. It's like, yeah, it's in a pit. And so I was in it playing with the kids and my husband jumped in and I had made a new friend because I make new friends everywhere. I talk to everybody. And she was a nurse and we were talking and all of a sudden I look back and my husband that was standing in the Gaga pit is now no longer standing. I don't know where he is because there's a wall and he was flat on the ground. And so of course, like her and I both jumped over the wall, you know, and I immediately thought like he had a heart attack. And come to find out he was conscious and he had basically, you know, in sports, when you see, if you watch football, you see them get sideways tackled and the knee goes one way and the person goes the other way. That's what happened. So, but of course he's super stubborn and I had to like run to the camper, which was not very far with a baby, you know, and this is hilarious, but there was a rogue squirrel. I'm not even making this up. That was like sitting on my picnic table and we had saw it the morning, we had saw it that earlier that morning and it had been at like the camp, you know, the other site like near us. And it was like, I'm so scared of squirrels. And it was sitting on the table, like staring me down. And I had, and it was right outside my door, you know, cause I had to go into the camper to get the car keys. Cause I had to pull the truck around to get my husband in it. Cause I thought we were going to go to the emergency room with a baby in my hand. So anyways, long story short, he wouldn't go to the emergency room. The squirrel I managed to scare it away, which was weird because there's not a lot of like animals like on campgrounds, the one that we were at, because it, I don't know, it was really domestic. And I just remember looking at my husband. I'm like, I'm taking you to the emergency room. And he's like, I'm not going. And I was like, where is the emergency room? You know, like I didn't know where to go. So that's good to remember to like, you know the address, know your location, know your coordinates. So that way, if I had to call 911, I would have known. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here. Like I don't usually camp. I've camped once in my life. I have been to national forests and everything. And it would be amazing to camp, but you know, my guy, he's pretty afraid of camping.
Really?
He would go, yeah, he'd rather go in a cabin and not camp out in a tent. But my question is, do you take a map, like a physical map with you, or are you just relying on your cell phone?
That's a really good question. And I wish that I had a better answer for you. We probably should take a physical map. I will print off a physical map for my kids and we put it in like a pocket protector, kind of a pocket protector, a page sleeve, whatever that you can like color on as it will trace our route. That's the extent of the map that we take though. I should probably have a more detailed one, especially off grid, but otherwise, yeah, I do rely on my phone, but I will say I don't rely on Google Maps or Apple Maps or like the typical mapping, because when you're pulling, you're towing a trailer, it's a very different experience. You cannot go down every single road. You cannot go through all the places. And so you need to have more of an RV specific app, and they do have apps, and I try and map it ahead of time, just like be aware of it ahead of time. I do that ahead of time, but sometimes it's harder, especially with gas stations. That's where things get tricky. So I will go onto Google and I will look it up and I'll try and see the pictures of it to see if we have enough room to bring it in, and like to fill up and to actually park. Cause if you can get in a really sticky situation, if it's not designed the right way, and you're trying to back up a trailer in the middle of a gas station that's already tight, that's where like marital problems start. You're like yelling at each other. But that's a tip smart. With that though, is if you do have to back up your trailer, I try and get pull through spots so we don't have to back it up as much as we can. If you do have to back it up though, I saw this couple doing it and I told them how genius it was. They were on their phones talking to each other. So he had the Bluetooth on in the car, so he was hands-free. He could back it up and turn. And she was in the back saying, you're good, or like, keep coming. But the trick with this is there's a delay. There's like a 5 second delay, which is a lot if you have to stop it before you hit something. So you usually will count down like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they know like, okay, I'm closer to it than I should be. But yeah, it's a great way to, so you're not like screaming at each other in the middle of the campground, like stop, or like trying to do like baseball hand signals, like stop. Whatever it is you're doing.
That's hilarious. It got to the point where my husband like wouldn't let me get to the campground with him. Like he would go ahead of and he would go and set it up because we would fight. We would be like yelling at each other because it was stressful to, you know, and we try to only do pull through, but a lot of times like there are some campgrounds that you can't get a pull through. You know, it's just not available. So that's really smart. I love that. So we're like kind of entering into camping season, right? You know, I mean, I know that some people probably camp all year, but I mean, I feel like the real season is April, right? Like March, April, all the way to like October. Especially when, if you don't want to camp in the snow, no, thank you. But you were talking about getting your camper ready and you were talking about like spring cleaning. Cleaning your camper after season is like, oh my God, it's like a whole day, maybe longer. So do you have like tips and tricks to like get things going, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's such a small space, but like you said, it's like a whole thing. It's amazing how much is in that space. So the first thing I do is just take everything out, take out all of the linen, and we camp year round, but I'll still at least, I mean, and I'll wash the sheets once a year or not once a year after every single trip, once a year. That'd be terrible. I wash them after every single trip, but I still like to take everything out and just total like fresh start and then wipe everything down, clean everything out, including the cabinets, because we will leave like the pots and pans usually will stay in there and things that you don't want to forget on each trip. It is your home on wheels. So you leave in like pot holders and things like that. I try and take as much out as I can, including toys. We have a whole toy drawer for our kids, taking that out because the amount of dirt that gets in there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then they outgrow a lot of things too. So taking as much out as you can, those blackout shades that I talked about, I'll put new fabric on them because they usually not dull, but they just fade at the end of the seasons because they're in the sun, the direct sunlight. And so that's what we do inside and just wipe everything down, clean everything. We don't use paper plates. We use these enamel plates for our camping. So I'll take them inside and like really scrub them down. I wash them every trip and we have dish soap, but I just like to, you know, do a little extra sometimes just to kind of get ready for everything. And then I'm also in the process of redecorating. So campers are, this aligns also with spring cleaning, but campers break very easily and everything inside of them breaks really easily. So for example, I just replaced our window curtains or window shades because they were the old ones you just pull down, but they were not pulling down anymore. And one of them ended up just falling right off the wall. And I was like, this is terrible. And so I actually took them out. But what I think a lot of people don't realize is you can really make campers or trailers or fifth wheels, whatever, really make it your own. And so I installed new window coverings that was more of our style. I refinished. We had a table that was starting to kind of warp a little bit. Like it just had a bubble in the middle that was starting to get cut open. And I knew once it's a little bit cut, the whole thing is getting cut. So I took that off and I resurfaced the table. Little projects like that can just kind of breathe new life into your season as you're going into it. And that way you're not like halfway through the summer where it's camping season and you're having to redo your trailer and then you feel like you can't go out because you got to let things cure or dry, or you're stressed about having to get those window shades up because of whatever. So just going through and kind of looking at where things are at. Another thing we looked at is the window panes on the kitchen cabinets and the bathroom cabinets. You know how you can pull them open, there's storage underneath. Yeah. The caulking on that a lot of times will dry out over time. And so they'll end up falling when you're driving because they're dried, and then you hit a bump in the road and it's not always a smooth journey in a travel trailer, especially if you're going off grid or like on the back roads. And so they'll fall out and now you don't have that covering, or they could break. Thankfully ours have never broken. They're pretty durable, but you still want to just make sure that that seal is secure. And so just going through and checking up on those little things, it's really a good time to do it.
Yeah. We used to buy like the little, like, not stainless steel. Is it stainless steel? Like scrubbies or whatever. And then we'd also get dryer sheets. And I remember at one point, like, I wanted to seal everything underneath my camper because I wanted every crack and crevice to be sealed. And my husband's like, that's not really okay. You go ahead and do it. But, you know, it's not, I mean, it's a travel trailer. Like, things are going to get inside. And that was my biggest issue, is I just didn't want any critters to get in. Like, have you ever had that issue before, or ants, or anything?
No, thankfully, no. Thankfully, yeah, we have not. But you're right. Like, it, you're out in the open and out in nature. You'd think it would happen more often, but it doesn't. Every night, though, I'm always wiping everything down. We sweep every at least once a day, because even the tiniest little pebble on those floors, it'll scratch them up and everything. And you're walking on there barefoot. Yeah. I like us to take our shoes off at the door if we can, if I can get my kids to do that. Yeah. It's just, then you're not bringing everything in, but still it gets in. It's amazing how much it gets in. But yeah, thankfully we've not had that happen. Here in Arizona, our big worry is pack rats. And so they say you can put, and they're nasty. They'll chew up your cabling. And so then it'll totally destroy things. So we'll put like soap bars down below in the storage container and compartments, and it keeps them out. We haven't had any problems yet, but that's a big thing.
Yeah, that sounds like palm rats. We have palm rats here that like live in the palm trees, and they actually like are attracted to like the oils or lubricants that are on in the cars. So you gotta be like careful, because they'll like chew it. Yeah, they'll chew it.
Yeah.
So have you had any weird animal experiences, like outside of the cow trying to get to your trailer at that one farm to table, which I think is so cool that you were out in boondocking on a farm, and like you got to, you know, you probably had like farm to table, like such fresh food, you know, that sounds just amazing. So, but any weird, like a weird squirrel, like the squirrel was like a human in a squirrel body, and it was like,
no, Joss, you can't pass.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm here, I was here first, so I don't know what you think, but
I would say the only, well, the one, I guess one of them that sticks out to me is we had a skunk. And the skunk, I read reviews because, you know, like I said, I like to read the reviews before we go. And there was a skunk, someone had said, the skunks like the campfires. And I thought, my husband thought it was crazy. There's no way the skunks like the campfires. Well, sure enough, we're sitting around the campfire and a skunk, I see it coming up, and I was like, oh, there he is. There he is. And so we scared it away, which is a questionable decision because you don't want to scare a skunk. And he just kind of went about his day, but it was a campground. It was more dispersed. It was in a park. And so it wasn't like a Jellystone park, but the campsites were close enough together.
Yeah.
And they were used to people there, is my point. And so he went away, and I saw, we could see him at the other neighbors. Like, they had their patio light on, but they weren't there. But there was people right across from us who were being really loud, and I was trying to get my kids to sleep, and the skunk ends up just going from us over to them and then all the way back and then over, and just make this circle all the way around. And so we went to bed that night. Well, about 15 minutes after we'd all gone to bed, I heard something outside, and I thought it was a bear. Like, it was really loud. And I was like, do we close our trash? Like, do we bring in the trash? Cause you know, we had the zip up camping trashes and stuff. And we did, but the skunk was out there, and we had left a pot holder from when we had the grill, we had our grill going. So we had the pot holder, and I guess it had some like grease on it. I didn't think it did, but apparently it did.
Yeah.
And when we got up, so we saw it through the window, and so we kind of just knocked on the wall, and it went away, and we didn't hear it after that. The next morning though, I went outside, and then my pot holder has a slash mark through it. Like the three slashes, like, you know, horror movie kind of slash. Right. And I was like, this is kind of cool though. So I've kept it.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Pot holder. And it never sprayed us.
I was going to say, that's like, that would be a nightmare to like have to deal with. Yeah. I had a dog get sprayed by a skunk once, and that's like, it's the worst. And like all the you know, remedies that they tell you to do, like the tomato sauce or tomato, whatever, it's, yeah, no.
Doesn't work?
No, I mean, it helps. It doesn't like actually make things 100% better. So anyways, So for the people that have never camped before, like Gabby, or maybe only one time, and they're like, nah, I don't really want to do tent camping, you know, or, you know, but they're like, I kind of am interested in camping because it's actually a fun thing to do. You know, it's actually really economical. I mean, like I was talking about traveling, you know, and going on vacation for a birthday weekend earlier with Gabby, and it gets expensive, you know, and I feel like camping is really affordable for families to be able. That's one of the reasons why we camped in Michigan, is because we could get away monthly, you know, or more. And it's affordable. I mean, it does the plus, you know, but I mean, what would you say to someone who's like, ew, I don't do wilderness. Ew, I don't do bugs. You know, I'm not like an outdoor person. And, you know, what would you say to them about like, hey, maybe you should try camping, you know, like what would you say to them to get started?
Yeah, you definitely can elevate the experience. It doesn't have to be all dirt and all like gross bugs, because like I said, I don't do bugs. You can be warm. You don't have to be cold all the time, or you don't have to be hot all the time either. There's an air conditioner on most of the campers too. So it's a great way to get away from everything, to get outside, get in nature, get the fresh air, but also have all those creature comforts of the heater or the air conditioner. Have the food that you bring. You can cook your own food, and you don't have to just do like the foil packets. Like I make stuff, the same stuff I would make at home, I make in my travel trailer, because you've got the oven, you've got the stove. We got 3 burners. We make the best coffee. Camping coffee is delicious.
Yeah.
So you can have all these really good things with you. The campfire at night is excellent, but if you're not able to do the campfire, usually you can do a propane fire pit. So you can still get that ambiance, but it's really easy just to turn on and off. So you don't have to do all the work to go get the firewood and like start the fire. It's not like that I think a lot of people have in mind this idea that starting that fire is really difficult, but it doesn't have to be.
No.
And you can make it a lot easier than people give it credit for. And then just little things that you can bring along to make it feel homier and just cozier. And so I always bring along like my pillow from home. I have 2 pillows in our camper because I like to just have like the squish and the fluff and just be cozy. Yeah. And I bring along extra blankets, and it's warm and it's comfortable. I sleep so well in our travel trailer because we've made it our own.
Yeah.
You know, you can bring along like a picnic table cover that's not like your typical like vinyl one. Like I'll put a Turkish towel over our picnic table. It just feels a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
It's also easy just to crumple up and go wash when you get home, you know, so it's not. I don't know. It just makes it feel nicer.
Yeah.
And then there's so many like little lanterns and lights that you can hang around your campsite just to make it feel fun and inviting.
Yeah, that's good. I think we hung. Sorry, go ahead. No, you go.
Sorry.
Yeah,
no,
you go.
No, for all of us that don't really camp, so I'm going to ask a question like about the bathroom. How does that like function and work? Like when you're, how do you clean it out? Or because I know how it works in the wilderness, but like, how do you clean it out? Or what do you do? What goes on there?
That's such a good question. I love that you asked that. So the first time we ever went backdoor camping, but total boondocking for 4 nights, I was literally on our drive over there. I was like, how do you poop in the woods? I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I was so paranoid about that. And there's a lot of resources on Google, so you can Google that. I won't go into the details. But most of the time, everything happens in the camper, so you don't have to go outside in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, which I like because I'm scared of the dark, admittedly.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out in the middle of the night not knowing my animal is going to like just walk up on you, and it's cold and you don't want to get out there. So yeah, everything, you can do that all in the camper. There's a bathroom in there, and then you flush it. You have any toilet paper that will work with septic will work with your travel trailer. So you can get the special toilet paper, but you don't have to. And then it goes into what's called the black tank. And then at the end of the trip, you're either, if you have full hookups, like when you were stationary at Jellystone, you had the full hookups. That's when I like to have that. It'll just automatically go into the sewer, just like you would at home. It just automatically goes in. But if you don't have the sewage hookup, then what you can do is go to a dump station at the end of, like as you're rolling out of the campground, and you wash it out immediately there. So you're not like driving around with all your waste.
Okay, that was my
question.
That
makes sense.
And bring gloves. The first time we did that, my husband did it barehanded. I was like, oh my gosh, no way. And he's like, what? You know, I'm like, oh, okay, we need to have a conversation. Get some gloves. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Gabby. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't mean to step on you.
That was a good question. It's always hard to travel with kids, you know, and you want to make it fun. You want to make it light. You also want to make it easy on yourself. And it sounds like you have like found all the answers. So, and I know that you also provide, because I am like a tried and true person. I mentioned that earlier. And I like, if someone can do something better and they can help me make it easy for me, like I'm all about it. So, and I think like you've taken all of your experiences and you've created, taken your ideas and the things that you do and created a package or like a box so that it makes it easier on other families that might not even think about these types of things. So you said that you have something coming up. So like, are you going to share that with us or?
Yeah. So I'm actually shifting away from the subscription box because what I found is that a lot of our viewers don't want to have more stuff, or they were hesitant to get more of that stuff. So what I'm shifting towards is I'm creating some products that will very soon be out of my camping checklist, which I've never seen anyone do a packing list like this, where you can plan everything for your trip. I think one of the biggest hesitations to camping is the planning process, because it feels like so much work, especially for moms up front, but not for me. I found it as I have a whole system and a whole strategy of how we pack. My husband says it's his favorite thing. When that thing goes up on the wall, he's like, yes, we're going. Like this is happening. And it feels really simple. And so I have that coming out that you can buy. I've got that campsite checklist so you can feel safe and secure at the campsite, or if there is an emergency, you've got everything that you need right there. And then a few other little products just to keep the camper clean. And then I'm also going to be stocking my shop with all of our family favorites. So like those enamel plates that I talked about that are just nice, and they feel like they elevate the experience a little bit. So it's not just like paper plates and dirt that you're eating off of. Like it feels cozier and homier and easier to get out. And so just anything that has helped our family have a really good time at the campground, make it feel more comfortable, make it easier, simpler, and help us to have fun. So like some of our favorite games will be in the shop soon, things like that. But it's all tried and true. It's all from my family to yours, because I want this to feel like a campsite vibe, because my favorite thing about being at the campground is just meeting new people, connecting with new people, and having a good time and just letting things be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And having that experience, you know, and whatever you're doing, whether you're traveling and staying at hotels and going to Universal or you're camping, you know, it's always all about easy and comfort and enjoy yourself and enjoy your time, because you're still, time is money, you know, and it's, you want to have a good time. So if you ever come camping in Florida, you'll have to let me know how it goes.
I will. I'll let you know about those manatees.
Yes.
Would you ever camp internationally, like in France or Germany? Because, you know, that's big over there as well.
It is. It's huge. I actually lived in Denmark for 4 years, but we never went camping. I went into a cabin, but we never had the travel trailer or anything like that. And yeah, it's just as fun over there. There's just as much to see, just as much to do. One of my favorite camping trips in Denmark was where you can put your feet into two oceans that meet together. It's like at the very top of Denmark. And so you're standing in two different oceans, and it's not like this big collision. It's just like overlapping water that kind of comes in waves. But yeah, there's just unique things to see everywhere, no matter what, whether it's in your home state. I mean, I grew up in Arizona. I'm still finding things in Arizona that I didn't know were here. Yeah. So it's just fun to find any new pocket. Doesn't matter in the US, Canada, internationally, in Europe, wherever.
Well, rent a travel trailer, right? I mean, you don't have to have your own. You could, so if you decided to go across the pond and like go to a different country, you could rent a trailer, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. I had some friends who just did that with actually their two kids. They rented it in, I want to say, France and Italy. And they just made a big loop for, I think, 4 or 6 weeks.
Wow.
And they just got back and they had a really good time.
I know what you're doing, Gabby, soon. We're always like, where in the world is Gabby? She's somewhere. We're not sure where. So thank you so much. So how do people find you or connect with you or learn more about some of the products that you're going to have in your shop if they want to like find out more? How will they find you?
So on Instagram, I'm at Cruisin' and Campfires, or I also have a sister business that helps people RV and build a business from the road called Roadpreneur. So I'm both places. And then I also, of course, have my website. So cruisinandcampfires.com and roadpreneur.com. And also over on Facebook. And I have a podcast, the Roadpreneur podcast. That's more business building though.
Okay, I love that. Like, did you make that word up? I feel like you made that word up, and it's a really cool
I did.
I love it.
I did, and I'm hoping I can get it federally trademarked, so we'll see.
Yes, you should. I got a guy. Unless you already have your own guy. But I have to tell
no,
you.
I need that.
You need a guy? Okay. Everyone
guy.
Needs a guy.
really cool term.
Roadpreneur yeah. is your podcast. That's cool. Cool.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. I'm glad we were able to connect.
You.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to another episode of Keeping Up with Chaos from the Booth and Beyond. Join us every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to check out all the important links and guest info from tonight's conversation in our show notes. Catch all our episodes, social links, email, and more at keepingupwithchaos.net. This is Keeping Up with Chaos from the Booth and Beyond.